What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. The history the government hopes you never learn. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome to our show today. It's Friday, February 9th, 2018. Thank goodness it's Friday. Thank goodness it's Friday. Thank goodness it's Friday. We have got a lot of stuff to talk about today. The phone lines are open, 800-313-9443. Mike is in our control room, ready to answer the phone when you call on in. And yes, the lovely Lady Claire will be joining us in hour number three of today's show. So getting on into it right now, as you know, the Olympics in Korea are now underway. They went through the opening ceremonies, quite a spectacle. The North Korean and South Korean athletes were marching together. The Russian athletes had to march in under the Olympic flag because of all that politicalization nonsense here. But apparently the show was stolen by one of the Olympians from Tonga. And he's a cross-country skier, at least that's what he's doing this Olympics. His name is Pita Taufatufua, and he basically did the opening ceremony in traditional Tongan costume, which is not really appropriate for the dead of winter in a northern clime. And he did the same thing back in 2016 in the Rio Games. Well, that was okay. That was a warmer climate. But he just he's there basically with the grass skirt, and he's all oiled up, and he's got the flag of Tonga, and everybody's just saying, wow, that really is something. And I hope he takes care of himself, because apparently there's a nasty virus that's just going through all the staffers and everybody there. So far, no athletes have it, but why tempt fate by walking around without a shirt in freezing cold weather? So getting on to it, let's see. Mike Pence, of course, is over there at the Olympics, and he made just a brief appearance at a reception marking the start of the Winter Olympics. He wanted to avoid any encounters with any of the representatives from North Korea. We need a new Olympic sport, childishness, because I think Mike Pence would qualify for the gold medal for most childish politician trying to exploit the Olympics for their own gain here. Now, there was another stir during the opening ceremony when two celebrity impersonators started making the rounds and doing selfies. And they looked like Donald Trump and Kim Jong-un. They weren't masks. They were just these guys who look enough like Trump and Kim, with a little bit of makeup, props, hats, and everything. And apparently they were so good, a lot of people thought it really was Donald Trump being buddy-buddy with Kim Jong-un. And everybody wanted selfies with the pair. And then the security guards grabbed them and threw them on out, because, of course, we know that Donald Trump and Kim Jong-un would never, ever want to be friends with each other. So there has been one little bit of an upset, and this is where I think the games have become a little too politicized. And it has to do with who gets to carry the flag, because as the various national teams march onto the field, one athlete is selected to carry the flag. And obviously it's a big high honor. So there were two of the U.S. athletes that we're sort of in the final running. There's a kind of an election process. There's eight nominees, and one from each of the eight U.S. winter sports federations. And these two athletes, Aaron Hamlin and Shawnee Davis. Now, Shawnee Davis is a two-time gold medalist and the first black athlete to win gold in an individual Winter Olympic event. So he felt he should be the flag bearer. On the other hand, Aaron Hamlin also has. She's a two-time gold medalist. Singles luge 4 years ago in Sochi. And so anyway, it came on down. They were tied, so it was decided with the coin toss. And Aaron Hamlin got it. And Shawnee Davis, who is black, is now screaming it was racist, it was inappropriate, it was discriminatory to let it come down to a coin toss. And so he basically boycotted the opening ceremony, refused to go out with the rest of the U.S. team. So I think there's the silver medal for childishness. All right, let's get into the domestic politics here, because there is a lot going on here. And somebody has raised an interesting point about what went down with the Uranium One deal. because as we now know, Bill Clinton met with Russian officials to close the deal for the Uranium One deal and close the deal for the Clinton Foundation. There's only one small problem. At the time he did this, Bill Clinton was a private citizen. He held no government position, which means he's violated the Logan Act. He's been engaging in foreign policy on his own as a private citizen. You're not allowed to do that. And what we're coming on down to is the American people are realizing something has gone hideously wrong with our government. The American standard is to accept the vote of the American people. That's how it's always been up until Trump won over Clinton. And at that time, Hillary Clinton and others in the Obama administration just took it upon themselves to destroy the legality of the political process, basically overthrow a legitimately elected president who'd managed to overcome massive election fraud directed against him. So I think people are starting to get angry. They can't avoid this anymore. There are a lot of people who don't want to believe that our country has come down to this degree of tin pot dictatorship. But there's no other alternative. There's no explanation for what we're seeing other than the system is broken. The elections are rigged. And we have to decide what we're going to do about that. All right, we're going to do a shout out now to our on-air affiliates who are just now rejoining the network. Getting on back over to the gag order on the undercover FBI informant, Douglas Campbell. He's now testifying basically that, as far as he understands, the only reason Loretta Lynch imposed a gag order on him was to help cover up the Uranium One deal. There was nothing else going on that justified a gag order. And, of course, there was a big, long legal fight to get the gag order lifted. And it's been lifted, and now Douglas Campbell is testifying, and he's basically laid it all out. Russia greased the wheels, so to speak, with millions of dollars into the Clinton Foundation to close that Uranium One deal. Now, the corporate media and the Democrats are out there trying to say, see, it shows bad Russia, bad Russia, bad Russia. But in real-world politics, you know, buying your way into a deal, that's common practice. In fact, in some countries, it's just sort of accepted. That's how these things get done. Russia's not guilty for making the offer. The Clintons are guilty for accepting. They're under U.S. legal jurisdiction. They accepted bribes, pay for play. Stop talking about Russia on the other side of the planet until you clean up our house here in the United States of America. But you cannot make a convincing case for why we should go out and condemn Russia for paying a bribe that we're supposed to forget Hillary Clinton took. It just doesn't work that way. If the bribe is bad, then both parties are guilty. Now, getting onto that whole issue of collusion, and again, Robert Mueller, after a year and $10 million, has found zero evidence of collusion between Donald Trump and the Russian government. Meanwhile, there was very obvious collusion going on, first of all, with the Uranium One deal between the Clintons and Russia. If we accept Christopher Steele's story that he was communicating with Russian sources to find the information for his dossier, then here we have the DNC colluding with Russia to bring down Donald Trump. And now we're finding out apparently Senator Mark Warner tried to arrange a meeting with Christopher Steele through a Russia-connected lobbyist. So there's lots of collusion going on, just not where they want you to think it is. Now, the other day we were talking about how the people who went into the FISA court to get the warrant to spy on Trump and his associates had two basic pieces of information. They had the dodgy dossier, which has been discredited, and then they claimed that this article in Yahoo News written by Michael Isikoff was corroboration. And the House committee basically came back and said, no, it's not corroboration. Christopher Steele was the source on both of those stories. It's a single source, unverified and now discredited. WikiLeaks has now found that Michael Isikoff was communicating colluding with the Democratic National Committee while all of this was going down. They were trying to just craft these two dossiers, and for all we know, there are more out there, trying to create this illusion that everybody knows what Donald Trump was doing in that hotel in Moscow. Now, do you remember back when Hillary Clinton was talking about her email server, and she came on out and said, I never sent or received classified information through that private email server? And to nobody's surprise, it turned out she was lying. Judicial Watch has found lots of classified material among those emails. Here's where it's very interesting. Story out of the Gateway Pundit pointing out that the FBI failed to flag Clinton emails that were marked classified. This is coming out of the Department of Justice Inspector General saying that when the FBI was going over the emails, they just let the classified ones go through. They didn't flag them. They didn't count them. They didn't mark them. So either the FBI is incredibly incompetent, which is possible when you remember how they blew the Pearl Harbor attack, or they're complicit in a cover-up of what was really going on with that email server. And that's obstruction of justice, for which some of these top officials, especially James Comey, ought to go to prison for. Now, remember, it came on out that there was originally a document that was produced regarding the FBI's summary of what they learned about the email server. And then it was rewritten to soften it prior to James Comey's news conference, in which he went on down and said, yes, Hillary did all these bad things, but she didn't mean to do wrong. And therefore, we're not pressing charges. We recommend no charges. And there were several problems with that. First and foremost, it's not the FBI's job to recommend whether or not somebody will be charged. And second of all, Title 18 does not require ill intent. If you actually read Title 18, the relevant sections, it says negligence, carelessness in exposing classified information in non-secure environments constitutes a violation for which one can be sent to prison. So Comey was just either ignorant of Title 18 or just hoping that you wouldn't bother reading it when he came on out and said she didn't mean to do wrong. It doesn't matter what she meant to do. And Comey, I don't think, is a psychic. I haven't seen him on TV with a crystal ball saying, send me $10 and I'll tell you your future, taking over from Miss Cleo. He doesn't know what's inside her head, and what is inside her head was irrelevant in the context of Title 18. So he had this letter, and we found out one of the things they did was they changed extreme negligence to carelessness, because the phrase extreme negligence is actually in Title 18. So they pulled that back. It's now come on out that the original letter mentioned the president. And that was edited to read simply a senior government official to protect Obama. And Obama needed protecting, because despite his claim that he only found out about Hillary's private server on the evening news, the fact is he was sending her email using her private email server address domain, which included classified information. So Obama, too, was guilty of violations of Title 18. Something else that's come on out, which points more toward complicity and the cover-up and obstruction of justice. Apparently, the FBI withheld notes from their interviews with Christopher Steele from the Senate Judiciary Committee. They refused to turn over the information the committee wanted. And so, of course, the Senate Judiciary Committee has now issued a criminal referral against Christopher Steele, the Grassley memo. And they're saying basically Steele lied to the FBI about his contacts with the media, such as Yahoo News and Mother Jones. Steele was telling the FBI he didn't speak to the media, but he was leaking. And apparently the FBI knew Steele lied about the contacts with the media. They did not give this information to the FISA court. This thing is just getting smellier and smellier. Now, if you'll remember, after Comey basically gave Hillary her get-out-of-jail-free card, everyone thought that was it, was going to go away. And then all of a sudden, just before the actual election, Comey was forced to briefly reopen the case because of the emails found on Anthony Weiner's laptop. And everybody wondered what the heck was going on. And, of course, Hillary was throwing ashtrays at the wall and screaming, "How could you do this to me?" But it turns out that Comey really didn't have much of a choice. And at the time we mentioned, there were threats coming from the NYPD that if Comey didn't deal with these emails, the NYPD was going to go public. But apparently the straw that broke the camel's back, so to speak, was over at the Department of Justice. George Toscas found out about these Weiner emails and raised a stink. And that's why Comey had to come on out and say, yeah, there are more emails. We need to look at them. And then a few days later, they said, well, we've gone through all these emails and there's nothing incriminating there, which is kind of bizarre when you go back over at the State Department and they're claiming they can't finish looking through their copies of the emails for 75 years. It's just a major cover-up, and it is obstruction of justice. Now, getting on to, back to Peter Strzok and Lisa Page, the texts that they were sending back and forth, along with a lot of incriminating information, it reveals just this utter contempt for ordinary Americans, a disdain for following the rules, and even worse, this idea that they're automatically right and everybody else is automatically wrong. So there's this article that came out over at the Gateway Pundit where these texts are revealing that Peter Strzok and Lisa Page were just slamming anybody else at the FBI who dared complain about the irregularities surrounding the Hillary Clinton email investigation and, more to the point, the special treatment Hillary was obviously receiving. There apparently were people within the FBI who said this is not the way investigations are supposed to be done. And Peter Strzok and Lisa Page were out there saying, oh, they spoil sports. We have to do something about that. And it was rather interesting where Strzok made a comment about how all of their complaints remind me how deeply politics, like religion, can sometimes blind objectivity, which is kind of a weird thing for Strzok to say after how hard he worked to protect Hillary Clinton from prosecution because of his political beliefs. But I guess his idea is our political beliefs are correct because they're liberal, and everybody else's political beliefs, oh, they're just so antiquated. Now, Judge Jeanine Pirro basically goes off on Comey and McCabe and it says, we're on the brink of indictments over FBI corruption. And she's right. It should be happening. It should be happening now. And it's reached a point right now where, again, everybody is watching what the government is going to do about all this crime and all this corruption. And the legitimacy of the government itself as a whole hangs on what is going to happen in the coming weeks. Because if the entire federal government pulls a Comey and says, well, yes, these people all did these terrible things, but they didn't mean to do wrong, so we're not going to do anything about it. That, to me, is the end of the federal government being believed in or trusted by the American people. It will be seen as illegitimate. It will be seen as not a government, but a crime spree taking place in our capital city. Now, there's a former U.S. attorney, and this is according to the Gateway Pundit again, basically saying this is the largest scandal ever. And I would tend to agree. I think we're going past Watergate, especially if my suspicions about what Hillary was really doing with that email server prove out. And everybody's already talking about criminal charges against former and current Department of Justice and FBI officials. We're going to take a break for commercials. We'll be back after these few words.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, no child left behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
We the people, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. And if you would like to help keep Republic Broadcasting on the air, and we do need your help right now, you can send a check or money order to Republic Broadcasting Network, 2251 Double Creek Drive, number 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. And if you want to call on in and pledge to be a recurring subscriber, the phone number is 800-724-2719, extension 03. Now, I think at this point it's very obvious we're approaching a watershed moment. I have been doing this for almost a quarter of a century now, ever since I got blacklisted out of Hollywood. And it's been a very long, slow road of just trying to educate the public that things are not what they seem to be. They're not what the corporate media is telling you they are. They're not what the politicians are telling you they are. But all of a sudden, things are starting to happen. And we're on the verge of a major scandal that could force reform within the government, if the government even survives it. And so we got to work harder. We got to push harder. And that's what we need your help for. Nobody in this business is getting rich. If you want to get rich in media, you go over to the networks and you lie your face off and you will be very, very wealthy and taken care of. So here in the independent media, we're here because somebody needs to get the truth out there and put these corrupt bastards in their place. That's what our job is. All right, so we're talking about this former U.S. attorney for the District of Columbia, Joe DiGenova. And he says, in his opinion, that several senior Department of Justice and FBI officials will face criminal charges. Now, here is the question that I have. Are the Clintons, is Obama, are the Bushes, are these main players in all of this, are they getting ready to literally throw the Department of Justice and FBI leadership under a bus to save their own sorry rear ends? Of course they are. These are not people of honor. They will sacrifice anything and anybody to stay free, stay out of jail, where they can enjoy their wealth and privilege and power. Doesn't matter who gets hurt. That's been the hallmark of the Clintons' career. Look at all the people who got hurt. Juanita Broderick, Vince Foster, anybody on the dead bodies list? They just don't care. But Joe DiGenova is right. This is the largest scandal in history. I think it's already gone past Watergate. This is going to make Watergate look like an April Fool's Day prank. Again, if my suspicions about what Hillary was doing with that email server prove out, and I'm trying very hard to find some evidence to support it, that's going to be the real rotted core of the scandal. A serving Secretary of State suspected of treason, selling out U.S. secrets to foreign interests using that weak private email server to deliver the information and her charitable foundation to collect and launder the money. It's a perfect espionage system. She doesn't have to actually steal files the way Jonathan Pollard did. Doesn't have to go on out and put chalk mark X's on mailboxes like Aldrich Ames did. Doesn't have to take documents and wrap them in trash bags and tape them underneath a bridge the way Robert Hansen did. It's an automatic system. It just runs all by itself. And somebody somewhere knows what she was doing, because in theory, the NSA monitors all computer traffic crossing the U.S. border in our outbound. So if Hillary was doing this, the NSA knows it. Now, everybody's talking like we're approaching a major threshold. And Sean Hannity yesterday literally came out and said the gig is soon going to be up for some of these criminals. And he's saying evidence is coming that will rock DC's foundations. And I certainly want him to be right. I want him to be right, because this nation cannot survive this kind of corruption in government for much longer. And we can see the signs of impending economic collapse all around us, and a government that wants to start World War III and just blow everything up because they can't think of anything else to do. And of course, doing the honorable thing and resigning would never occur to them. Now, apparently, Hillary and her mobs, if you will, are going to try and go back to some of the stunts they were doing right after Hillary lost the election. And liberals are launching this huge mobilization to get ready to cause a ruckus if Robert Mueller is fired by Donald Trump. More about that when we come back from these commercials.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
homeowners. Are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Welcome to What Really Happened Radio. Visit us online at whatreallyhappened.com. And now, set your eyes on the future and let's consider what really happened.
And Aloha America, welcome back to our show here. And we're talking about this article that has come on out in Consortium News, where apparently liberals are organizing to cause a nationwide ruckus if Donald Trump fires Robert Mueller. And they're out there screaming that, you know, Mueller has to be allowed to find evidence that Trump and Russia were colluding. Well, he's been at it for a year, and he spent $10 million, and he's come up with zip. And all we get is this constant corporate media barrage. Russia interfered with our election. Russia interfered with our election. Okay, show us the proof. Show us the proof. Well, we can't show you the proof. That would reveal sources and methods and means. You just have to take our word for it. No, we don't. We do not have to take the word of a government that lied to us about Saddam Hussein's nuclear weapons. And we do not have to take the word about a government that is lying about the unemployment numbers and the rate of inflation. We don't have to take the word of a government that has lied to us throughout the nation's history about things like the Gulf of Tonkin, the sinking of the Lusitania, the sinking of the USS Maine, and all these other lies used to trick us into war after war after war. The U.S. government is not to be believed. They have a massive credibility problem of their own making. And no, anybody who just believes anything the government says without absolute proof beyond a shadow of a doubt is a naive fool. Now, the fact is the president can fire the special prosecutor, and he's already got a reason. Failure to deliver on the promised mission. I don't think Trump is going to fire Robert Mueller. I think he's going to leave him right where he is, thrashing around, wasting taxpayer dollars, and obviously not finding anything because there's nothing to find. Meanwhile, there's all this collusion between the Clintons and the Russians, between Uranium One. If we are to believe Christopher Steele that the dossier in Donald Trump originated with Russian sources he communicated with, then we have the DNC and Fusion One and Christopher Fusion GPS and Christopher Steele colluding with the Russians against Donald Trump. But apparently these liberals are getting ready to have all these events all across the city. Some of them are threatening violence. That if Trump doesn't allow Mueller to just keep on digging until he finds something that would justify removal from office, they're going to riot all over the place. Now, these are liberals, and there's something they seem to be forgetting. If they want to start a civil war, it's we conservatives who have the guns and know how to use them. We won't need to, of course. If they start doing violent riots across the street because they don't across the nation because they don't like the president, that's an armed insurrection. And there's going to be a bunch of people headed for those FEMA camps. Now, according to InfoWars, General Michael Flynn is filing a motion for the dismissal of all charges. His lawyers are basically going back to court and saying, this should have never happened. The information used against Michael Flynn was all improper. And hopefully they'll be able to find a judge who's going to look at the letter of the law and say, yeah, this was not done properly. So let's talk about the war zones. Emphasis on the plural. Russia has made a really good point. Same point I've been making. What is the United States doing in Syria? There is no declaration of war by the United States government against the government of Syria. There is no United Nations Security Council resolution authorizing the United States to be in Syria. There's no legal foundation for the U.S. to be there. Syria wants them to go. Turkey wants them to go. Russia wants them to go. And the U.S. is just standing there stamping its feet, saying, we're going to stay here. We're fighting for a position of strength in the Syrian peace talks. Newsflash, United States government, you have not been invited to take part in the Syrian peace talks. It's not your show. Now, Russia has come on out and officially accused the United States of attempting to partition Syria. The U.S. still wants to break off a chunk and turn it on over to the Kurds, who will be much more friendly towards the United States than Bashar al-Assad is, because Bashar al-Assad understands the U.S. government's been trying to kick him out of his office for 7 years. And Assad could be forgiven for holding a little grudge over that. I know I would. Over the last quarter of a century, I've surprised myself how much of a grudge I can hold. It's human nature. But Russia is out there basically saying that America has abandoned the assurances that they were only in Syria to defeat the terrorists. Well, the terrorists are gone. And now the U.S. is changing its story once again. And the U.S. is saying they're going to stay in Syria until they're convinced Syria has begun a sustainable process of political settlement, which is U.S. speak for regime change. They want Bashar al-Assad out. They want an obedient U.S. puppet in. And they are risking direct conflict with not just Syria. They were bombing the Syrian forces just the other day, but with Russia and Turkey. It's not a strong position when you are surrounded by three different countries who happen to basically agree that you should leave the area. Now, apparently, the U.S., using its influence over the global financial networks, has illegally blocked Russia's attempt to transfer roughly $5 million U.S. equivalent from Russia to Syria to pay for fuel for their aircraft. And the foreign ministry, spokesman of the foreign ministry, Maria Zakharova, is out there saying it's an international transfer and stressed that the U.S. has found some way to freeze the money. And it's more than $5 million, and the funds have not been returned. This is just another way for the U.S. to goad the Russians. And again, you should underscore the sheer criminality of all of this. The sheer criminality of all of these wars. None of these countries have attacked us. None of these countries indicated they wanted to attack us. It was all basically, it goes back to 9/11. Oh my goodness, the terrorists got us. Well, we know 9/11 was a false flag attack. It was as phony as Pearl Harbor being a surprise, or the Lusitania not carrying weapons, or the USS Maine destroyed by a Spanish mine, or torpedoes in the Gulf of Tonkin. It was just another war-starting hoax to allow the U.S. to go on out and just start trying to pick off country after country after country after country to control their natural resources and to make sure that they continue to found their economy on the U.S. paper dollar. We know who the aggressor is in this war. And I know a lot of people don't like hearing this, but in this world war, we're the bad guys. Now, the Russian Defense Ministry is out there saying that the U.S.-led coalition shelling of the Syrian militiamen proves that the U.S. is not there to fight the terrorists, ISIS or ISIL or Daesh or whatever they're calling themselves this week. They're trying to basically carve off economic assets. That's what they're doing. Okay. Israel has apparently started building that border wall along Lebanon's border. Now, Lebanon is saying that's on their territory. Israel is saying, no, this is actually our territory. Basically, going back to 1948. But here's the issue. When is everybody going to start screaming that Israel is being racist? Because every time Donald Trump talks about building a wall in this country to protect our borders, the first thing everybody screams is, oh, you're being racist. You cruel, heartless man, you're being racist here. Nobody's saying that about Israel. Of course, Lebanon is not happy about the wall going on up. And Lebanese President Michael Aoun saying he's ordered the country's armed forces to confront any attempt by Israel to undermine Lebanon's sovereignty. And he says, we hope to put an end to this matter through diplomatic channels, yet our military has been given the orders to confront any threat to our sovereignty to prevent Israeli greed. Boy, has he got Israel's number right there. Now, before anybody in Israel starts hitting the launch buttons, they may want to think about something very seriously. Russian media sources have revealed that this last Tuesday, Russian Prime Minister Dmitry Medvedev instructed Russian Defense Ministry to begin talks with his Lebanese counterparts to sign a military cooperation agreement between Russia and Lebanon, part of which will be that Lebanon will allow Russian warships to use their harbors, to use their ports. And once again, a poorly thought out U.S. foreign policy has driven another nation to pivot toward Russia and China and away from the West. And it's a brilliant move for the Russians, because now they're gaining more and more access to warm water ports. That was the real stink about Crimea. The reason why the overthrow of Yanukovych in Kiev, they wanted to basically kick Russia out of Crimea, which would deny Russia warm water seaports. Well, that one has obviously backfired here. Story coming out of Russia today, I presume this is tongue-in-cheek, they're pointing out how all of a sudden all of the Syria experts in the media overnight have now become Iran experts. They're experts on Iran. And, yeah, the propaganda is starting up. And I find it amazing to think that the U.S. is mired in Afghanistan. They're stuck in Syria. They're stuck in Libya. They're stuck in all kinds of places we probably don't even know about yet, like Niger. And yet they're ready to take on another war, to go into Iran, to go into North Korea, and ultimately war with Russia and China, which I think it's inevitable. It will, in fact, go nuclear. And we all ought to be thinking about that one right now. It is not unreasonable to basically look on a map and look around where you live and see if there's something that might be considered a nuclear target. And I'll give you a little bit of guidance here right now. The horror stories of giant bombs erasing civilian cities, that was Cold War propaganda. Nuclear weapons are weapons of defense and deterrence. And the primary first strike targets are going to be military bases that are themselves able to launch nuclear weapons back at the Soviet Union. Missile sites first, followed by the air bases, followed by the naval facilities. If you're not living near any one of those, then the only thing you have to worry about is fallout, which you still need to worry about on that one. But it is amazing how many people are talking about war with Russia. And boy, it wasn't all that long ago that we were all friends. The world was pulling together. We were all friends. Peace through commerce. And then all of a sudden, the United States realizes they've forgotten how to manufacture anything that anybody wants to buy. And they try that GMO experiment, and they destroy their agricultural exports. And all of a sudden, we have to have a war. We have to reassert our supremacy and force these other countries to run their economies to fuel our empire. All right, let's take a phone call. Peter in Los Angeles, aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hey, Mike. Heard you talking about the all the posturing that they're doing, the left is doing to create basically riots and insurrection and a reaction if Mueller gets fired. And I wanted remind everybody that the Obama Justice Department was caught basically shaking companies down. Do you remember? They were going to either prosecute them for this or that unless they donated to Democratic causes, many of which were Soros. Right? So Soros got a lot of that money. Remember?
Yes. I remember that.
All right. So there was that. Then we know that Soros is also Hillary's single biggest contributor. We also know that Soros is linked to a lot of the color revolutions and some of the CIA, like, for instance, in the Ukraine, where they go in and he's taking money from the CIA, so they're linked. We also remember that Robert Kramer and the Democratic National Committee who was fired for setting up violent demonstrations against Trump, remember again in the election that Project Veritas caught and had him admitting to. And then, of course, there's. I just want to remind everybody that Obama, not only did he target the FBI and CIA and NSA against the American people, but he did it 4 years earlier with the IRS against all his political opponents.
Yes.
And the final thing I want to say, there's only one reason we're in Syria, Michael. Only one reason we're trying to take down Iran, Israel, and her fifth column in the United States.
Well, that's certainly part of it. I mean, Israel certainly cheers the United States on into all these wars. They were cheering for the war in Iraq. I think there are still other factors, and that is the United States' desperation to have all the oil-producing nations on Earth sell their oil only for U.S. dollars in order to prop up international demand for the dollar, because there's no other reason anybody would want to bother with dollars other than to buy natural resources such as oil. If you take a dollar from the United States and you bring it back to the United States to redeem it, what are you going to get for it? GMO agriculture? Nobody wants that. American manufactured products, overpriced pieces of junk. People are preferring to take Chinese yuans and Russian rubles because you can go to those countries and actually get something really nice for that paper currency.
Mike, I saw a story, maybe it was on What Really Happened, about how the Israelis bombed the bejesus out of somewhere in Syria, southern Syria. And The Syrians actually fired back with missiles. Apparently, one or two of them missed and landed in the Golan. And the Israelis are claiming that's an act of war. Of course, forgetting the fact that the Golan really belongs to Syria anyways, and they're there illegally. But, you know, apparently the anti-aircraft missiles they sent up, they're claiming landed in the Golan, and it's an act of war. After bombing the hell out of the Syrians.
Yeah, well, I mean, Syria. It's like the United States being in Syria and saying we have a right to preemptively defend ourselves by bombing everybody around us when they don't have any legal reason to be there at all. Anyway, Peter, we got to take a break for commercials. We'll be right back after these few words from our sponsors.
Do you or a loved one suffer migraine headaches? Listen to what scientist Kurt Hendricks has to say.
35 million people in the United States suffer with debilitating migraines. If you or a loved one are one of them, you need to know about MigRelief. Hi, I'm Kurt Hendricks, the scientist that formulated and patented the MigRelief migraine formula. MigRelief is a non-prescription dietary supplement recommended by neurologists, pharmacists, and pediatricians to address nutritional deficiencies in both adults and children over 2 with migraines. Try MigRelief for 3 months and see the powerful difference it can make in your life or get your money back, no questions asked. Go to MIG911.com or call 800-MIG-7354. You can change your life today.
So if you suffer from migraines, don't wait. Call 800-MIG-7354. That's 800-MIG-7354 or visit MIG911.com.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Do you or someone you know suffer from chest pain, blood pressure, cholesterol, or irregular heartbeat? Are you looking for a more natural solution to overcome these health challenges? You hear the ads all the time. If this stuff's so good, why doesn't my doctor prescribe it? That's easy. Doctors are not trained in natural medicine. Extendivite Heart Tonic does want you to be as healthy as you can be, and it really works. Take Extendivite for 6 months and your doctor will say, I don't know what you're doing, but don't stop. It's working for you. Get the dependability of Extendivite. Just see how you feel in 6 months. A 2 month supply of either capsules or liquid is only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Some are maxed out all their credit cards. Some are working 2 jobs and living in cars. Minimum wage won't pay for a roof, won't pay for a drink. If you gotta have proof, distract yourself, Mr. CEO. See how far $5.15 an hour will go. Take a part-time job at one of your stores. I bet you can't make it here anymore.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show. We're going to take another phone call from Kathleen in Paris. Aloha, Kathleen. Welcome back to the show. What's on your mind today?
Aloha, Michael. Today I wanted to tell you about my failed New Year's resolution to stop using Google. And, well, I'm searching with DuckDuckGo. But I was sending a Gmail, my Gmail account, and to my class that I teach every week. And I've been doing this for years. I send them a document ahead of the class so they'll have it to work on. But when I sent them All Wars Are Bankers' Wars, it didn't go. All 38, a big 38 is in my group, and they all came back to me, and Google advised me that my behavior is suspicious of spam.
Well, my goodness, I didn't realize I rated so high in Google's universe of nasty people.
Yeah, 38 people on the list, so I'm now a suspect of spam. And really determined to get rid of Google. But so I just thought you'd be interested in that.
I am very interested. Thank you very much. Now, I've been very successful with my New Year's resolution, which was to not make stupid resolutions I have no intention of keeping. And so far, I have kept that one.
Well, I have... I've loaded Yandex, and I have a Yandex email. I just haven't followed through with completely, you know, going through with it.
Okay.
But it's spooky that they can see that. I mean, you know, I've been sending these documents for years, and but not.
Well, I would imagine that probably. I imagine probably everybody that's assuming the role of a gatekeeper on the internet, that there are certain articles they don't want people to read. And I remember when All Wars first came on out, and a couple of people made videos from it and everything, it was very popular, it went viral, and it's certainly a story that the people in the Federal Reserve, not to mention the government as a whole, don't want the American people to know about. They don't want the American people realizing that we fought the American Revolution to break free of private central banking, only to have our own government sell us back into that slavery 100 years ago. That's not something that's going to win you re-election.
Yeah. Well,
okay.
We can be proud, and I'm going to carry on with my New Year's resolution, though, because I want to be rid of and I'm quite happy with DuckDuckGo, by the way.
Okay, hang on just a second. For some reason, we briefly lost our connection on our video streaming. There's Spectrum for you. Anyway, thank you for the call, Kathleen. We're going to have to take a break for station identification, and we'll be right back.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you one from Amazon.com. I just wanted you to know I saw my doctor and I laughed because he said, "I don't know what you're doing, but keep doing it." I have been taking Extendivite. I had borderline high blood pressure, heart flutter, high cholesterol. I changed my diet and included Extendivite with an amazing turnaround for the better. A few months later, I had a doctor's appointment and took a stress test. I passed. No heart flutter. Blood pressure was perfect. My doctor even took me off my medicine. I thank you truly from the bottom of my heart. This stuff works, and I'm so grateful for Extendivite. Thank you, Justin G. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite. listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.